It's the Pandarin Talk. The Pandarin Talk. Everybody knows it's the Pandarin Talk. The Pandarin Talk. The Pandarin Talk. Everybody knows it's the Pandarin Talk.
And welcome back to another episode of the Pandarin Talk. I'm one of your hosts, Jordan Mask. And with me, as always, he's a less need of podcasting because he says fuck those draft picks, Sean Dangler.
Not much. It took me a bit to catch on what less need, but then I realized. But yeah, fuck that, man. Just go grab talent right now. Who needs future talent?
Yeah, I'll tell you who doesn't need future talent right now. The Los Angeles Rams, baby. We're just like a fucking anybody who's out there. Just we're grabbing them
that
right
has
now.
Any name recognition.
Yeah, like anybody who's out there, we're in the running for it. Mm-hmm. And we're probably getting them. That's essentially what's happened the past few weeks.
I didn't even see OBJ was like considering them as one of their teams.
He wasn't.
That's why it was so weird.
In consideration. So before we get too in the weeds, I guess we just tell people what happened here.
Yeah.
So a few weeks ago, the Rams traded the second and third round pick of next year's draft for Von Miller.
I forgot about that.
That's the thing. People have forgotten that Von Miller is on the team now. That essentially everyone's like, whoa, what the fuck's going on? You know, the Rams have no picks next year, which the first pick's in the fifth round right now.
Oh my God.
We can get into that. But they got fucking Von Miller to go opposite Leonard Floyd and Aaron Donald.
Yeah, this not bad.
Could be awesome.
I mean, Von Miller he's not even compared to what he was years ago, but as long as he's like somewhat like, he'll probably look great because he has two other great defensive linemen opposite of him.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you can't overreact because it's not like, it's not Von Miller, like, the best defensive end in, or outside linebacker in the game anymore. But he's still probably top 20.
Yeah. And it's even more so now that he's got two other great players that the team has to worry about in front of him so he can, you know, wreak havoc.
To put this in perspective, Dante Fowler had, like, 12 sacks a few years ago opposite Aaron Donald. Yeah. I think he's had, like, three since. Leonard Floyd had never had a 10-plus sack season. Yeah. He's now on pace to have a second straight one with Aaron Donald.
Wow.
And now both those guys are on the defensive line with Von Miller. Yeah. It should be good. And then after that, a week later, you know, OBJ's out there in the world. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, he's probably going to the Chiefs. He's probably going to the Packers. Psych, he's coming to L.A., which is cool because their depth wasn't very big, and they need him. Well, lo and behold, fucking a day after he gets signed, Robert Woods goes down with an ACL.
OBJ took his knee out or something. Who knows?
I hope not.
I don't think he did.
Sean, you can tell I'm excited.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on it as like an outside perspective?
Well, the Von Miller part I think is great. I'm genuinely shocked that they got Von Miller, but I think that is good. OBJ, he's wash in my mind. I just don't think he's going to matter that much. I feel like his prima donna-ness is an issue because he forced his way out of Cleveland and New York.
Yeah.
So I'm a little concerned about his, you know, if he doesn't get what he wants, you know, then he's going to be all bitchy about it and then can ruin the team morale. But, you know, whatever.
I texted you after. Actually, I think you texted me about the Von Miller trade.
Yes, I did.
I told you I like it. It's good for the team. They needed him.
I believe you first responded. You didn't realize that was actually happening. You didn't think it was a real thing.
So I had a few messages from people like commenting on Von Miller to the Rams. I'm like, oh, that'd be cool. Like thinking it was rumors. And you guys were like, no, it's happened, Jordan. Mm. Looked online, it happened. So it was cool. They need it. The Broncos are paying like all of a salary, which is real cool.
Yeah.
Which is why they essentially got a second and a third round pick.
Yes.
Then I text you about the OBJ thing after it happened. And I was very, you know, tepid about it for the same reasons you are. I'm not sure he's good anymore. He hasn't looked good this year in Cleveland the past few years, and I thought he would take away receptions and like touches from people who were probably more needed. Now with Robert Woods going down,
it works out better. It works now out because I mean, they need somebody there.
I still would rather had Robert Woods.
Well, yeah, if he wasn't hurt. Obviously, because so, I was reading an article. It doesn't sound, besides Kupp, who's the other receiver?
Van Jefferson,
and now it's Odell. They didn't really have much depth below that, basically.
Yeah, they've cut DeSean Jackson.
Yeah.
They had this guy called Jacoby Harris, who was like a big like reception. Mm-hmm. He tore his ACL and MCL in the past few weeks.
Yeah.
And now they have this Ben Schwarnacki or something like that. He's from Notre Dame.
Okay.
He's a rookie. He's real raw, and he's probably shouldn't play a lot. He's now their fourth receiver.
What happened to Reynolds?
Got signed with the Titans, who then cut him this year, and the Rams actually put in a waiver to try to get him, but the Lions signed him.
Oh, I did not know that. So
before OBJ, they tried signing Josh Reynolds.
Oh, okay.
Which would have been good, because, you know, he's in the offense.
Yeah, he knows it.
But, so I was like, okay, good depth signing. Now we have five receivers, four of them who, like, could play.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're back down to, like, we're fucking thin again. If one of these guys go down again, we're fucked, but.
Well. Maybe I'm trying to think of another washed old receiver. AJ Green, maybe. Wants out from the Cardinals.
Dude, he's been good this year. I love AJ Green.
I know, yeah. But I'm trying to think. Larry Fitzgerald, you know, last time we checked, he wasn't officially retired yet, so maybe bring him into the system.
I would take some Larry Fitzgerald on the system. Yeah, it's just like... OBJ, I think, is a huge name. He's the, yeah. I think he probably got more coverage them signing him than Von Miller did. On the trade.
Yeah, which doesn't make sense.
Yeah, which doesn't make sense, because Von Miller is actually going to have an impact. OBJ hopefully now has an impact, but...
Because when was the last year OBJ was, like, cool? I like, when was he, like, oh my god, this is one of the best... I need him on my fantasy team, like, top receiver, basically.
Or... Like, when he was punching, like, the kicking nets? Like, that's, yeah. Like, 5 years ago.
I know, that's the thing, is he has not been relevant. And he's a pretty short guy, isn't he, for a receiver?
Yeah, I think he's 6 foot or something like that.
Yeah. So, like, and he's had tore his ACL or had some injuries where it's like, I don't know how much he has, you know, how much, you know, he relied on his agility and speed, and who knows if that's actually there anymore or whatnot.
Yeah, I am hoping one thing that he has still shown in Cleveland is he has, like, some 50-50 jump ball ability still.
Yeah.
And the Rams have really lacked that.
Okay.
Because they don't have any big, like, their big guy is Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
So, like, they needed a guy to go up and get 50-50 balls. So hopefully he can kind of fill that void for him.
I mean, the thing is, if you're looking at a half glass full, Stafford is a much better quarterback than Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can say that. And
is that you would think Stafford will get... Because I don't remember if OBJ is he's a downfield receiver or more of like he's just going to go cuts. But like Baker, I don't know. We just got done watching the first half of the Baker or the Browns game. And Baker was like every throw was seemed like underthrown. So that's where I'm like Stafford, I don't think is going to underthrow anyone.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to underthrow anybody. He might overthrow some people. He's got a cannon.
Yeah.
Sometimes it gets a little wild there. Yeah, I think he will do better in those aspects. Hopefully. Yeah, having a better quarterback, not being the true number one receiver. Like, I think it's been, like, with him signing, he knows, like, hey, man, this Cooper Kupp's offense, like, it goes through Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to get your share, but you're not getting the share.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, like, if he can come in and be a solid number two, awesome. If not, then, yeah, this is a worthless signing and whatever. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it's, like, half a season signing, so if they don't like him...
Yeah, they just let him go.
Yeah, they don't lose anything here, so I'm all right with them signing him.
Is that the thing with Von Miller, though? Is he's probably not going to be signed back after this, right?
So he is not signed through next year, but I think there's talks, and I'm sure it's with both them. Like, if stuff goes well, they're going to try to re-sign these guys. How? I have no fucking
idea. Isn't the cap situation for the Rams just super crazy?
It's not great, but one of these years, the Gurley and Goff contracts are off the books.
Oh, God, those are still there?
I believe they're both there this year. I know for sure.
I guess I could look this up.
I know for sure Goff is here. Gurley might still be there. Either way, one of those years, those are also going to get off the books, and that will help. But yeah, they still have fucking Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Donald, Matt Stafford, Cooper Kupp, like all these big signings. Still.
I can't believe... Oh, Todd Gurley, man. The guy's not even in the league anymore.
Yeah, the longer we get away from these contracts, the worse they look. It's weird to think that just that long ago, he was the best back in the league. Now he's out of the league and still a cap hit.
Just because his knees went out on him.
Yeah, man. Younger than I am. NFL's crazy. No, the Von Miller one, I think they will probably try to re-sign more because they have less depth there than at wide receiver. Like, at wide receiver, they will still have Kupp, Woods, Van Jefferson.
Okay.
You're laughing, so I'm guessing they're both on there.
I'm looking at Goff and Gurley, yes. The 2021 dead cap is, Goff is on the hook for $24.7 million.
Yep, second biggest ever.
Oh, God, and Gurley has 8.4. So, I'm trying to figure out if it extends, basically. But
I believe at the time where they had, there was at one point the Rams had the three biggest cap hits ever on their team. It was Gurley, Goff, Cooks. Cooks is now off, I believe. Gurley, I'm thinking this is last year. Goff, I think, is next year's is.
Actually, year. No, Goff is this year.
Oh, they're both off after
this
year.
They're both off, according to SportTrack.
Okay.
Yeah, they're 24.7 for Jared Goff. Oof.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. So anyway, hopefully they can re-sign them after, like, if they're good, they can at least compete to re-sign them. It'll be short. Like, Von Miller, I think, is like 32. So how long are you really going to sign him for?
Yeah.
Michael
Brockers, 2.6 repeating.
Yeah.
He's on there.
Yeah. He's a, that was another big, get him out
sorry,
of here.
Sorry, go ahead. I'm just,
No, you're fine. But, so here's the thing with the Von Miller thing.
Yeah.
It should be awesome. Like, that should really unleash that defense a little better, I think.
Yeah.
Even if he can be, like, Leonard Floyd-esque, you know? Leonard Floyd isn't awesome, but he's playing really well this year.
Yeah.
If he can be-esque, like, Leonard Floyd-esque this year, that defense is going to be really good. They still have some secondary issues that I think they need to iron out, but, like, they're playing better. They didn't look horrible last week, even though the score looked bad. that's what happens when there's a pick six and an interception that goes to the 2-yard line.
Yeah. That was surprising, especially, yeah, because they played the Titans, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because Derrick Henry was out.
Yeah, it was one of those games where, like, up until that interception on the goal line, like, they were probably in control of the game.
Yeah.
And then, like, the game got out of hand and stuff starts snowballing on you and game's over. So,
yeah.
That played right in the Titans' hands, but hopefully that doesn't happen again. Von Miller should really, hopefully the pass rush helps. He's really good at run defending, too, which is something, like, the two guys who were there were playing well, but they weren't there awesome.
Yeah.
So really, at this point, I'm just hoping injuries don't catch up to the Rams because they're real top-heavy and they've already lost a few people. So,
I would say so. So I'm just looking at the I'm looking at the salary cap. I just wanted to look at this again. 2021, they're at $136 million. 2022, that's with 64 signed players. And 2022, with 39 signed players, they're at $203 million.
Ooh, ouch.
And then 2023, they only have 25 people and they're still at 138 million.
Eventually the cap's gonna go up too, but yeah, next year could be rough. Hopefully
that inflation, man, you hope for that inflation to bump it up and so all these contracts look a lot better.
Damn right, man. they also have to re-sign Stafford at some point and extend him, which should help their cap in the coming years, hopefully.
That's true.
Yeah, it could get rough though, so hey, Super Bowl or bust, why not, you know?
Wow, okay. Yeah, whatever. No, I mean, I think it's good for the Rams. I am still shocked. Like, I saw this week, I was at the gym and ESPN was on, and I saw the Cardinals were 7-1, and I was like, how are the Cardinals 7-1? We've established Cliff Kingsbury is not a good coach, but apparently he might be.
Dude, they won last week without Kyler too.
Yeah, which is who'd they beat? The 49ers.
Yeah, the 49ers who
are not very good.
Yeah, I say that, but they're going to probably whoop the Rams. That's just how this works. The Rams are going to be flying high in here, and the Niners are going to beat them, but hopefully not.
Yeah, I, you know, maybe the Cardinals are actually, what, I guess you probably pay more attention. Why are the Cardinals so good? Why are they 7-1?
Because Kyler Murray's really good. That's been, so most of it has been Kyler Murray's really good on offense. They have a lot of good playmakers, and he just, like, cannot be stopped.
Yeah.
On defense, they create just enough havoc to be successful.
Yeah.
I don't think it's sustainable. People I listen to and read don't think it's sustainable. But part of this is we're also halfway through the season. So some of this has to be sustainable.
Yeah, you can't just go that bad that quick.
Yeah. So maybe they're just good at creating havoc. You know, remember a few years ago when, like, I forget, like, the Saints won it with, like, a defense what wasn't very good, but they created a lot of turnovers and havoc.
Yeah.
And then the Packers did the same thing.
Yeah.
It could be one of those situations where the offense is good. They got a great quarterback. Their defense just creates lots of turnovers and does a lot of things right to be average enough to win.
It's great. I mean, I was shocked when they have the best team or best record in the league now. And it's like the fucking Cardinals.
It's crazy. Cause when we did our preview, I was like, these guys are bad. Cliff Kingsbury's going to be the first person fired.
Yeah. Yeah. We both, I don't think we're very high on them.
No. And they're good. They're going to make the playoffs at this rate. They've got 7 wins in the bank. They're going to make the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I think what changed is that the Seahawks and the 49ers just have not been as good to start off the season. I mean, Seahawks, but obviously because Russell got hurt.
Yeah, that
that's like we both thought that he would be better, and they're both 3-5, so or whatever they are going to be after this week when this comes out. But
yeah, that's got to be part of it that the competition hasn't been up to snuff for the Cardinals.
Yeah,
that we thought. I mean, they've still beaten good teams. Like they beat Tennessee, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
That's
I'm going.
They beat the Rams pretty handily.
Their only loss is to the Packers, which is actually a pretty good loss.
Yeah. I'm trying to think who else they'd probably beat.
Well, okay, here. I'm going through it. Yeah, the Titans were good. Sorry, I'm just looking at something real quick. I want to pull that up. Sorry.
No, I got distracted. Fine. They're probably also benefiting from they were the worst team in the division last year.
Yeah.
So they get the last place division schedule, which is, you know, part of the reason the NFL does this is... So they can, you know...
Yeah.
Everyone's about 8-8. No,
sorry, I got distracted, literally, because I was looking at the standings, and I thought it was going from beginning of the season to the end of the season, or to now, and I like scroll down, and I see a game's canceled, and I was like, did I miss something? But it's the preseason game. They played the Saints, so I'm guessing it's in a hurricane. Whatever.
Probably, yeah.
So, yeah, so they beat the Titans the first week, beat the Vikings by one, beat the Jaguars, Rams, 49ers. They beat the 49ers twice. Wow. The Browns, Texans, and then lost to the Packers. So they've beaten some good teams, but they've also played some shit teams. I mean, like, I don't think the Browns are, unfortunately, as good as what their record says.
Yeah, that's seeing their schedule out now. They've beaten the Rams, who are good. They've beaten the Titans, who are good.
And barely lost to the Packers, so it's not like they got blown out.
And after that, like, their best win's probably against Minnesota.
Yeah.
Maybe Cleveland, who both, like you just said, I don't think either of those teams are great right now.
Yeah.
I
don't know. They're still obviously 8-1, so, you know.
Yeah, it's whatever. They're going to make the playoffs. They're really good.
Yeah.
We'll see if it... Also, here's the thing. We earlier in the season, I think we talked about him, and we're like, this is going to go downhill quick if Kyler gets hurt.
Yeah.
Well, Kyler got hurt 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Like, this could be the start of, like, now it's not the same Kyler Murray anymore.
Yeah. And I don't know how much J.J. Watt played in a thing, but obviously he's out for the season now. Yeah. And so...
I think he was a pretty big deal for their D-line. He was, like, their best D-lineman.
Yeah. So that obviously plays into it. But, yeah. I don't know. It is weird that the Cardinals are 8-1. You never think that.
No, no.
Not since Kurt Warner, baby.
Even then, like, I never thought of them as, like, a powerhouse.
Yeah. But, yeah. Especially with Cliff Kingsbury, when everyone thought he was... a trash coach. I guess who do you think's gonna get fired first? Kyle Shanahan or Cliff Kingsbury?
Cliff Kingsbury still. Mostly just because Kyle Shanahan has like too much built up in his cred, I think.
Yeah.
Cliff Kingsbury is like running on fumes, right? He's trying to build cred right now.
Yeah.
So he doesn't get fired. Kyle Shanahan has just a lot built up to like for him to have to get fired, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
He's still a season away from firing all of his like assistant coaches essentially and calling it like making it their fault.
Yeah.
And then it'll be like, all right, maybe he's on the hot seat.
I mean, yeah, I think the thing is, it's like, yeah, I mean, he is the one who drafted and traded for Jimmy Garoppolo and then traded also, I guess, and drafted Trey Lance.
Yeah.
But he really has not had, neither of those quarterbacks have been very good. So that's obviously on him, obviously, yeah. Partially, but obviously, Cliff has Kyler Murray, and from whatever, you know, watching the NFL or anything, if you have a really good player, that can usually hide a coach's shittiness, basically, a little bit.
Yeah, it definitely helps when you have a good, competent quarterback.
Yes.
After watching the Rams the past few years, I can say, even though I like Jared Goff, it makes a little bit of a difference when you have Matthew Stafford
instead of Jared Goff. So. Someone who's actually good.
Yeah, so part of it is... Kyle Shanahan has always had that excuse too. I wonder when they're going to be like, you don't have this excuse anymore, man.
Yeah, no, it's fair. Yeah, it's so, warranted.
All this being said, they're probably going to run over the Rams this week because that's fuck what happens. The 49ers play the Rams and they'll run for 400 yards on them.
Yeah.
But no, that's been a big disappointment, I think, for the NFC West is that they're not very good.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I don't know. The rest of the NFC is pretty top-loaded, too, though.
Yeah, what about is Cam Newton going to turn the tables in the NFC South? Lead them back?
No, he's not. I think he's washed.
I was talking to a mutual friend, relative of yours, actually, who's a Panther fan.
Oh, yeah?
Allen. And I was talking to him, and he's pretty high on the Cam coming back, and it's like, you know, I think he will be better than Darnold. I think that's maybe what he was excited about. I do think I would take Cam over Darnold at this point still. Oh, no, not you.
I mean, so Darnold's bad. So
he's bad. Like, that's the thing.
That's the one thing is, like, maybe. But, like, we're talking about, like, bad or, like, really bad to bad. So
that's true.
I don't know if anybody watched Cam Newton last year, but he was not good.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you think – so when I saw that signing – I click on the ESPN article. I don't know if you look at the ESPN app that often. Nope. Oh, okay.
Do not have it.
Actually. So every time you look at it, usually the headline for literally any sports story, it doesn't have to be the NFL, it could be the NBA or even baseball somehow. It's always like, Stephen A. Smith thinks this is a money grab by the Panthers. Or it's always something. The video is always Stephen A. Smith from like First Take. It's always some argument he has in whatever this topic is. It's so stupid.
So that's awesome. I wish what they did though is just like every article, it's just like them like walking into his office or him like in the hallway, like, hey Stephen A, what do you think of this? And he's just like, as he's walking away, like, I think that's stupid or something like that. Just every article, no matter what it's about.
Yeah. No, I've just realized, I was like, okay, so their whole network and a thing just revolves around whatever Stephen A. Smith says, basically.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, I saw something on a different podcast, so I won't have us do it here to steal it. But they essentially like did like a power ranking. Like, if you had to trade this person for this person for like ESPN anchors or like Fox anchors, what would you have to do to like get a Stephen A. Smith back? And it was kind of funny. So,
what podcast was that? Do you know?
I think it was Ryan Russillo.
Oh, okay. Nice.
So, they were essentially, it was like a, who was it? Like a Joe Buck and somebody else.
I saw him. I saw a tweet from Ryan Russillo at the podcast I listen to, The Press Box, I really like, where they take listener questions. And Russillo's been on that podcast. And he sent his, it was just a tweet to that podcast when they're asking for questions. It was like, would you do Scott Van Pelt and a second round pick for Joe Buck?
That must have been what started this.
Yeah.
I think the guy from The Press Box was on his.
Yeah, so
I think,
that must be it then. Yeah.
So I thought it was hilarious. I wish it's one of those things where you hear someone else do it, you're like, fuck.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah.
Great idea. But yeah, ESPN, it's essentially like Stephen A. Smith is like, I'm trying to compare him. He's like LeBron James to the NBA.
He is. And he's good in certain times, but man, I see him sometimes. I'm like he's on NBA Countdown now. Like,
oh, is he?
He basically like took control and like was like, I want to do this. So it's him, Wilbon, and Mike Greenberg, and then also Jalen Rose, who has been on Countdown for a long time and is like more, Jalen's probably about the same age as those guys, but seems way cooler than all three of them.
Because he played in
the NBA. Yeah, like, and like, I just see like, I was watching an episode or something, and like Jalen Rose like makes a point, like comes back at Stephen A, and Stephen A's just like, ah, 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 like does this like stupid angry Stephen A. Smith, but it's like, your take is so, I mean, his takes are just, like, so mediocre takes, but it's because he delivers them with so much passion.
Yeah.
But when, like, when Jalen, who, like, has a very nuanced, smart take about it, then, like, shows up, Stephen A. gets so fucking pissed about it.
I'm just picturing it right now.
Yeah.
And it's, man. So can't get over that he is now on Countdown, too. Just because when I think of him nowadays, didn't they like have him like comment on some baseball shit or something like a month or a year ago?
Could have.
And he like didn't even know the players. He like commented, he's like, I think this person's gonna be big for this game. They're like, yeah, he retired. He's not on the team.
That, I think that makes sense. I'm pretty sure he got in trouble with football too.
Maybe that's it. Maybe it was a football game. But yeah, he was like, this guy's gonna be big for this game.
Yeah, yeah, no, I think he got in trouble for that. Wow, we went off on a tangent. But my tangent was
podcasting, baby. Love it.
Was Cam Newton. Stephen A. does not believe in Cam Newton. And that was a pure money grab. But I think Cam at least is better than Darnold in a sense. And I think it'll provide, I don't know, I could see it potentially turn around. You know, get some of that magic going, baby.
So I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that it doesn't affect the standings at all, personally. Okay. Maybe. I think Cam Newton's a good guy, cool guy. I don't think it's going to affect him much. Sad thing is, this is probably going to be Deshaun Watson's team next year.
You think so?
I would guess so. I'm still thinking the Panthers probably trade for Watson.
All right. I mean, if you put aside all the shady bad stuff about him, he has a lot of issues.
Which is tough to do.
Yeah, which is tough to do. But for the Panthers, at least he went to Clemson, whatever.
Yeah.
He's beloved. They unfortunately probably will look a little more of a blind eye towards that stuff because they have Deshaun Watson.
So, not to get off on another tangent here with Deshaun Watson stuff, do you know that he's still like going into the team facilities every day?
Because
he's technically not suspended. They just don't play him.
Yeah.
So he shows up every day and is like with the team every day and like meetings. How fucking awkward would that have to be?
Well, it's super weird because he asked for a trade.
Yeah.
And he probably would have been traded, or maybe not, whatever. But then all the sexual assault stuff happened. So then they're like, yeah, we're not going to trade you, like, but we're not going to play you because you're like, this is super, we'd look super terrible if we did that.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, he's on like the active roster, but he doesn't travel. I don't think he travels with the team or anything. Like he's a part of the team, but not part of the team, basically.
Man, it's just so weird. I didn't know. I thought he was like on the team, air quotes, but not on the team. But yeah, it's like comes in, like practices. I bet he's probably running fucking scout team.
Yeah, he probably is.
It's crazy. It's just weird to think about.
Yeah, fucking, that is weird.
Back to people who actually play. Dak Prescott this year, very good though.
Yeah.
Are you sold on the Cowboys? Because I've listened to a few people recently who have them as like the NFC favorite, which is still tough for me to think.
I don't know if I could take them as the NFC favorite because they're the Cowboys. But I think they're good. You know, I wouldn't be shocked if they, you know, if they made the Super Bowl. You know, they're one of those teams. I guess so. Maybe they're a favorite. But I think I like the Packers, the Buccaneers, or the Cardinals or Rams in front of the Cowboys, I feel like.
I think so, too. The only...
Mike McCarthy... Okay, let's go through the coaches. Oh, man. Cliff Kingsbury, about the only coach I would probably put below Mike McCarthy in.
Okay, let's do this. Let's rank these coaches. Like, who you would like to have in the playoffs for the NFC coaches here.
So, yeah.
Let's just say, right now, for the sake, we got Bruce Arians for Tampa Bay.
Yes.
We got Matt LaFleur for Green Bay. Mike McCarthy for Dallas. Cliff Kingsbury for Arizona.
Yeah.
Sean McVay for L.A. Who else do we want to go with? Sean Payton for New Orleans?
There's not that good, though.
Yeah, but they're probably making the playoffs.
Fine, we can put Sean Payton in there.
And then...
That's it. Like, literally no one else has a winning record in Falcons are 4-4 would be the next best team.
Yeah, we'll stop it at 6. Okay. Let's rank these people. Like who? So we're saying, I think we both agree that Kingsbury's last.
Kingsbury's, he would be last.
Okay. I think you're right. McCarthy's probably 5.
Yeah, McCarthy's 5. Then it gets a little dicey.
So I'm going to be a homer here. I'm going to go LaFleur, then McVay.
Wait, as 4, or as number 1 and 2?
No, 4, then 3.
Really?
Yeah, just because. So
I thought you'd have McVay first.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to put Arians below both of them. I think Arians gets benefit of the doubt for last season.
Yeah.
I'm going to put him at 4. LaFleur, McVay, Payton.
Wow, you really think Payton's that good?
I think Payton's a good coach.
Okay. I was honestly leaning towards, I like Payton, but I think Drew Brees helped him a lot. Whatever. I guess they're 5-3, so I shouldn't. But I would probably, I will still, even though I like Bruce Arians a lot because he just doesn't seem to give a fuck anymore.
Awesome dude. Fucking love the dude. But I think he gets a lot of benefit, like, coaching-wise.
Yeah. Well, it's like, I was listening to a podcast. I love how we just always say we were listening. That should be our t-shirt. I was listening to a podcast. I was listening to one, and they basically said, like, Bruce, maybe it was the Bill Simmons one. But they basically said how Bruce Arians, like, doesn't even go to his offensive, like, Brian Leftwich and Tom Brady just handle the offensive coordinator thing. Like,
yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
Arians doesn't do anything, basically, in a sense. Because he's, like, he was an offensive guru when he was, like, coming up through the ranks. So, whatever. I will put Arians there, then I'll put Payton, and then I'll put LaFleur, and I'll put McVay first.
I love McVay. He gets a little iffy. Like, last week was a perfect example of, like, he gets like too into his own mind, I think, and it's like, I'm gonna throw the ball fucking 50 times a game, and we're getting 6 yards a carry here.
Yeah.
We also we neither of us are like as high on LaFleur as others, I think. I guess you ranked him second.
Yeah, right. So but I like him. He's younger.
One of the things is I think we underestimate.
Is this Rodgers?
No, I'm going to say this dude has lost like 7 games in his 3 years coaching. Like he's really good, and he's made the NFC title game every year he's been a head coach. So,
oh wow, I did not even realize that.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Yeah. But yeah, he also has Aaron Rodgers, so maybe he's benefiting from I have fucking Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. So yeah. I mean, all those teams besides like the Saints have good quarterbacks, basically.
Yeah,
that's usually what it matters is if your quarterback's competent.
Yeah. Man, so that does bum me out a little bit because one of the things I like about the NFL is. You don't like the NBA kind of makes me mad because like if you don't have like four good players in the league, you're not winning a championship.
Yeah. It's hard to contend.
But now the NFL has turned into like if you don't have like the top 4 or 5 quarterbacks,
yep.
You're not winning a championship, which really it's irritating. It's probably always been that way, though.
You want some Brad Johnson helmet in the quarterback ranks back in the day.
I like being able to think if I have a Joe Flacco on my team, I can win a Super Bowl. And I've seen it happen, but I don't know if it can happen anymore.
Well, I will say Joe Flacco on that Super Bowl run, he fucking turned up. You know, he hit another level, but after that, he hasn't done shit, basically.
But that's what I need. Like,
just get hot, baby.
Think about the last Jared Goff was my savior. Because he made the Super Bowl as Jared fucking Goff.
Yeah.
Without that, like, think about who the quarterbacks you see. It's a lot of Tom Brady.
Yeah.
It's a lot of Patrick Mahomes. I guess you got Jimmy Garoppolo in there. He's probably...
He's all right.
Yeah. I don't know. But you can't win it. So,
well, I mean, the closest one this year is probably right now it's the Titans with Ryan Tannehill. Because he's not... You know, Tannehill's a decent quarterback, but he's not... I would say he's more of a game manager than... Like, he's not going to go out there...
Yeah,
like no. Gunslinging on you, basically.
That's actually probably a perfect example. Yeah. If he were to win the championship, he'd be a good Joe Flacco candidate. Yeah. So,
but I don't know how it's going to turn out if he doesn't have Derrick Henry.
Yeah, it's a little rough when your offense relies on one guy
for
like 75%.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hell, we just ranked the NFC ones. Let's do the AFC ones just for shits and gigs.
Okay, fair.
I think both of us are kind of like up in the air on the AFC, though.
Yes.
Because it's just a hodgepodge of everybody. And we thought the Chiefs would be dominating, and they're not.
So. Yep. They are third. I did not know the Chargers were technically leading their division, and they have more points against them than the points they've scored.
Wow. Okay. So
just by two.
But. So who are the. So we got.
What do you want? The top two teams out of each division?
Well, yeah, sure. Sure.
We have the Bills and Patriots.
Okay.
The Ravens, Steelers. Really, the Steelers, Browns, and Bengals have pretty identical records. They just...
Yeah.
Browns, Steelers, Bengals have one more loss. The Titans, Colts are 4-5, so they won't count. Chargers, Raiders are 5-3, and the Chiefs, Broncos are 5-4. So, man, we have thought the AFC West was going to be great or whatever. It's kind of good, but they all have all... No one's bad, I guess.
Yeah.
No one's great.
They're kind of like the NFC North, but the NFC or AFC North, I mean.
Yeah.
But the AFC North has like their bars a little higher than the AFC West. I think mostly because like everyone's down on the Chiefs, so like it just makes the whole division seem worse.
Yes, it does. I agree.
So
do you want to just do the top two teams out of all? Well, not the Colts. I'm not gonna put them.
Tell you what, instead of putting the Colts in there, just throw. Let's throw the whole AFC North in there. Let's just do it.
The whole AFC North.
Okay. I mean, all of them can make the fucking...
That's true. That is true. So, okay, so who's your worst quarterback out of... Or coach, sorry.
Worst coach? It's still probably Zach Taylor, right? The Bengals coach?
Yeah, unless you want to say, like, the Raiders coach just because he...
Oh, yeah. Okay, we'll go with him. We'll go him.
I would have probably put in John Gruden last if he was still the coach.
You know, before I learned about all the stuff he says and
things... Not even because of that. I never thought John Gruden was that good of a coach.
I think he got a lot of the Bill O'Brien stuff where, like, he's bad at, like, the player management side.
Yeah.
It affects how people think about his coaching side. I think he was a pretty good coach.
Okay.
Seems like not a nice guy, though. Not a good guy. But, yeah, we'll go with the Raiders coach. I don't even know who it is.
I don't
know. And then, we'll go Zach Taylor.
Okay, Zach Taylor. I'm looking here. Man, I like these coaches a lot more. Who's the Chargers coach?
Is it Staley? It's probably Staley.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah, he's probably next.
Yeah, I would probably put him next.
Which says a lot, because I like him.
Oh, man. This is hard.
I'm going to go...
Because I like all... Literally the whole AFC North, I like all them. And I think as my, who's the Titans coaches? It's Vrabel.
Vrabel.
I, for them to always be this good is impressive.
Yeah,
I think, so I feel like I can't put him low because I don't think they're actually that good, honestly, they're talent-wise.
He also seems like a guy, like, I've seen, like, players talk shit to him on the sidelines, yeah. like, from the other teams. And you know how usually you see that, and, like, the coach just kind of, like, ignores it? Yeah. He talks shit back because he knows he can still fuck up some of those other guys.
Yeah.
So I got to respect that as a coach.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Stefanski next, probably.
Stefanski. See, that's...
It's one of those things you have not proved to me in the playoffs.
Okay. Fine. I will do that, too, even though I like Stefanski.
I like him, too. I like him, too. But then I'm going to go Vrabel after that.
You know what? I will actually go, and as much as a fan as I am of Josh Allen, I'm going to put Sean McDermott there because they haven't really done much in the playoffs, right? I can't remember if they did much last
year. No, I mean, the AFC Championship, that's about it. You're right.
It's a little better. Whatever. I'm going to put him there, and then I'll put Vrabel in front of him.
I'm going to do McDermott after Vrabel just because I think he's built the team up a little more than Vrabel has, so I'll take him.
Okay. So we got Belichick, Harbaugh, and Tomlin.
And Reed.
Oh, we put the Chiefs in
here? Oh, did we? I guess I subconsciously did.
I don't think we put the Chiefs in there.
Okay, then we don't. Okay, cool. I'm down with that. So we got Tomlin, Harbaugh, Belichick. Ooh, this is some...
This is hard. You know, I'm going to put Harbaugh.
I'm going to go Harbaugh, too.
Okay.
But I'm going Belichick, too.
You know, it's an upset. I honestly am going to put Belichick, too. And Tomlin is impressive because he's been there for... I mean, I guess Belichick's been there longer.
Yeah.
But, like... Tomlin hasn't had Tom Brady as a quarterback.
He hasn't been Roethlisberger, though.
Yeah, he's good, but, like, I think it is impressive what Tomlin's done.
Me, too. I think I'm going to buy it. I'm just going to say it. I'm biased. I want Tomlin to be above him, so I'm going to put him above it. Because this is our podcast, and I can do what the fuck I want.
Yeah, you can. But, like, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to think. It's, like, I don't know.
I really can't even say it's recently biased because Belichick's won titles recently.
Yeah, that's true. But, like, right now... I don't know. It is hard. I got, yeah, whatever. I'll go with Tomlin. I'm trying to look. I'm looking up their coaching. Okay, I guess Belichick has a better winning percentage still.
Dude, anything you look up coaching-wise, it's going to be Belichick.
Yeah, postseason-wise, it's a lot better towards Belichick. But
yeah, dude has fucking 6 titles.
That's true. But yeah, let's just go with Tomlin. Let's just feel good about it.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Oh, I just had spit come all out of my mouth. That's gross.
That's all right. No one can see it because we're on a podcast. Damn, okay. So anything else we want to talk about the NFL-wise?
I think we covered about everything we could.
Yeah, I think next time we'll probably be getting into the... Right after Thanksgiving games and all that, so that should be getting down to the nitty-gritty of when stuff's getting...
It still feels... I don't know what this season... It feels like this season's gone on way longer than past seasons.
I don't know. I've heard a lot of this. I hear a lot of people talking about the 17-week thing. This is just football season for me, so it's all going with
it. I don't know. Yeah, it's weird. I've never felt like this before, but for some reason, I'm like, man, it feels like we should be farther along in this.
So part of it is have you been paying less attention this year than you think other years?
Maybe.
Because I have found that when I don't pay attention to the season, like college football, I have it happen to me more than pros.
Yeah.
I'll be like, fuck, we're this far in the season already. And it just seems long because you haven't been following as much.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it.
I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe not. I don't know.
I probably haven't watched as much. So whatever.
Yeah. I don't know. So switching gears here, Sean.
Yes.
Out of the sports realm into the movie realm. Something else really big happened between... Probably the biggest stars for this podcast.
Okay.
Vin Diesel called out the fucking Rock.
Man. Yeah, he did on Instagram.
On Instagram, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
Sean, I'm gonna give you the floor here because this is you, man.
Okay. So this is the post. And there's a picture. We'll talk about the picture, but there's a picture of Vin looking at the Rock. That's what it is. Whatever. We'll discuss what that picture is. Yeah. But this is the description of the picture. My little brother Dwayne. The time has come. The world awaits for the finale of Fast 10. As you know, my children refer to you as Uncle Dwayne in my house. There is not a holiday that goes by that they and you don't send well wishes. But the time has come. Legacy awaits. I told you years ago that I was going to fulfill my promise to Pablo. I swore that he would reach that we would reach and manifest the best of Fast in the finale. That is 10. I say this out of love. ... But you must show up. Do not leave the franchise idled. You have a very important role to play. Hobbs can't be played by no other. I hope that you rise to the occasion and fulfill your destiny.
Wow. 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 Wow.
Wow.
There's a lot there, man. A lot there. Lot to unpack. First off, who's Pablo?
I think everyone wants to know who Pablo is. It his kid? Is Vin Diesel's kid?
Is it Kanye? Is he talking to Kanye?
Is it Kanye?
But for real, like, he opens up with my little brother.
Yeah, like,
which I'm sure that's an inside joke, or like was an inside joke at one point.
I don't know if it is.
You're right. It's not. It's definitely a dig.
Yeah, it's definitely a dig at The Rock, because The Rock's always a huge motherfucker. No one calls him little brother. No, besides nobody. Dom Toretto, I guess.
You're right. Dom Toretto would call him little brother. And maybe he calls him that. I don't remember him calling him that in any movies.
Yeah.
Other things in there.
I'm looking up. I've one on Wikipedia. He does not have a child named Pablo.
So who
is Pablo?
I promise Pablo. Like, is someone who died, like, I promised him on his deathbed I would make Fast and Furious, like, the greatest ever in 10 movies.
Was he meaning to write Paul and then it auto-corrected to Pablo and then he just didn't realize it and posted it?
Oh, that's awesome. You know what? We're going with that. It's definitely auto-corrected Paul.
And he never just went back to edit the post. He just left it as Pablo.
Yep. He's like, it's too far now. I gotta commit.
Oh my gosh.
It's definitely Paul Walker. That's definitely what it is.
But he calls him Uncle. His children call him Uncle Dwayne.
So do you notice in there,
yeah,
he never specifies how he reaches out to Dwayne anymore. It's his kids reach out to The Rock
and give him
well wishes. Never Vin Diesel.
Yeah, there's not a holiday that goes by that they,
yeah,
and you don't send well wishes. It's true. Vin Diesel does not take part of that, but his children do.
Vin Diesel says, fuck that guy. This is a little surprising to me, because I think there had been rumors before, like, they were going to talk about, finale was 10.
Yeah.
But it seemed like, wasn't there rumors like that was off the table now, and they were going to go more than 10? Or am I incorrect there?
Well, I thought there were going to be, like, a female version or whatever, so I don't remember if that was... Yeah, I don't know. Even if there's a finale, I still would expect them to make another one.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll be done.
No. Because
they make a shit ton of money off of this.
Yeah, me either. Getting back to the actual, like, pettiness of this fucking post. Sean, the picture.
The picture, yes.
I believe it's like the cut-up of Fast Five, where, like, they're at the street race, and Vin Diesel's like, this is Brazil.
Actually, I think somehow you know that. I think it is. You fucking got it, yeah, man. It is definitely that, because The Rock's in his, like, commando gear, yep, where he's not just wearing, like, a t-shirt, basically.
Yeah, and it's like, it's when they, like, go up and, yeah, like, he's like, you can't boss me around, this is Brazil, and everyone pulls out their guns and shit.
Yeah.
But, like, the picture itself, he has blown himself up, Vin Diesel.
Yes.
To look like he is on the same size as The Rock.
Yep. Staring into each other.
Which is not a thing.
No, because Vin Diesel is much shorter. You can look at the photo and you're like, this seems off.
Like, it's just like distorted.
Yeah, it's distorted, cropped, whatever you want to call it. Like, it doesn't look good.
Everything about this is the best kind of pettiness.
It is. In this. Because if you guys, for anyone who isn't on Instagram, like, The Rock is always on Instagram, like, yeah, posting videos of him working out, or always posting the inspirational stuff. So for Vin to do this means he's just trying to put it in The Rock to make The Rock look like a shitbag when he doesn't come back to the franchise, basically.
Yeah, because I'm guessing behind the scenes right now, they're like, hey, man, we want you back. And The Rock's like, no, fuck that. Why would I come back to this shit?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
because we all know they don't get along with each other, if you've watched the movies, that they're not in, like, the same scenes anymore or whatever. And
I think they've had, like, some back and forths too recently, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And now, essentially, Vin Diesel's like, well, fuck it. I'm just going to put this out for the public. And then, yeah, like you said,
peer pressure him into doing it. I'm going
to peer pressure him into this, and he's going to come back, and I bet they kill him off. They're going to kill him off.
Well, if he doesn't come back, right?
I would think, yeah.
But how do you make another Hobbs and Shaw film, though?
I bet they will act like it didn't happen. It seems like the Hobbs and Shawverse has, if they do not come back together here for this movie, they're two separate movies then. Like, two separate universes. One of them Hobbs died in. One of them Hobbs didn't die. I bet that's how it goes, because I would think that Vin Diesel doesn't have as much control over the Hobbs and Shaw version.
No, he doesn't, because I think The Rock's production company is part of.
Oh, really?
I don't think it's a full production, but I'm pretty sure 7 Bucks production is on the credits.
That would make sense. So yeah, I would guess that if he doesn't come back, they're definitely killing him, definitely in some embarrassing way. Yeah, he got killed at a dildo factory.
He got killed. He was checking out all these dildos and got killed by him.
Yeah, just something really stupid. And but you, so Sean,
he was a production company. I got it right. Sorry. Yeah.
Do you think he's coming back? Do you think this is gonna work?
I mean, if he does come back, everyone's going to love The Rock more for it, because everyone loves Fast and Furious. But man, I still don't know. I think it's hard to believe that he's going to come back just based on all the stuff that's happened. And I feel like if he does come back, it's only going to be for one scene where he's hi guys, and then just is gone.
Yeah, but
oh no, dildos. I'm dying.
Oh, dildo rocket launcher. Just 80R over him. You can tell it's not even sticking with the voice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they'll do. They'll bring old footage of him and then edit it out and just fucking butcher him.
Oh man, I hope not. But I will say,
do you think he's gonna come back?
Yeah, I think he's coming back.
Yeah, exactly.
I think so. They're gonna be like, hey man, we know you don't like him. We're gonna film around it.
That's why they've done that for the other films. So I don't see how, and obviously The Rock loves making money. He's going to make a shit ton of money after this movie.
He's going to make a shit ton of money. I think Vin Diesel, with this, he realizes that Hobbs is a very important part to those movies.
Yeah.
That was one of my biggest critiques of the last one was no Hobbs.
Yeah, Hobbs is out of it.
I'm missing my Hobbs here.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can have him in the movie he did in 6 or 7 or, no. Yeah, 6, 7, and 8. He's fucking there, but not with Vin.
Yeah.
So... yeah, just film around it, I think, is what you end up doing. You make a shit ton of money. People, like you said, people are going to love you because you're back. And, you're going to have to eat some crow from fucking Vin Diesel, because it's fucking Vin Diesel's movie, but...
that's it, yeah. I mean, that's what they do, is you have one scene maybe with them together,
mm-hmm.
and then they go, whatever, have to go split off and go on their separate missions, and then that's it. That's what they do with all the other characters, and no one of the characters are usually... they all team up with, another one, and then... go do their shit, and then they come back for one scene where they all have to fight together.
Yeah, really. You bring Hobbs back, you bring Statham back, and fucking have Han hang out with them. Have those three go do what the fuck they do.
Yeah.
And the rest of the cast is off doing the fucking Vin Diesel shit.
It's easy.
Yeah, it's easy for us to say this now. But yeah, I would say I bet he comes back. But super, this is perfect. This was a perfect Instagram, I don't know what this post. Is that what this would be called?
Yeah, it was an Instagram post, yeah.
So, perfect. Perfect. Thank you, Vin, for this.
Also, he got nominated. Vin Diesel got nominated for the People's Choice Awards Male Movie Star of 2021.
Makes sense. He's one of the 5 movie stars of the year.
I'm just sorry. I'm just looking through his Instagram and it looks ridiculous.
Is it just him singing?
No, it isn't, actually. It's just weird videos. He seems like a good guy, honestly, but
yeah,
he's different.
So I think part of this is we have two super egotistical, very rich men who are beefing.
Yes, exactly. Which is great. Which is fun.
Yep. So we're going to get a lot of play out of this, I think.
Yeah.
So, awesome. Sean, we're kind of there. Not really, but we're kind of there.
Yes.
We're back to the time here where we get to watch some fucking crazy ass holiday rom-coms.
Uh-huh.
And you watched the first one, man.
So I watched the first one.
What is it? Tell
it. It's called Love Hard. It was just released on Netflix. And here, I'll just read the premise because it doesn't have the plot yet. That's how new it is.
Wow, on Wikipedia. Okay.
The premise is Natalie Bauer, a dating column writer based in Los Angeles, falls in love with a man named Josh Lynn on a dating app and travels to his Lake Placid, New York hometown to surprise him for Christmas. However, she discovers that she has been catfished. And Josh is really a nerdy man.
I didn't know this.
Guess what? This is kind of racist stereotype. He's Asian. But he's a nerdy man. Whatever. Yep. Her crush, Tag Abbott, Great name for another, like, attractive person, basically.
An Instagram model right there.
Yeah. Actually does live in the same town. And Josh offers to set them up if she pretends to be his girlfriend for the holidays. I'm sure you can guess how this movie ends up.
Yes, but I will not spoil it for you telling me. But I will say, you, so like the first half of that description,
yeah,
could be a horror movie.
Yeah, it could be.
Like, up until it's like he's actually a nerdy man, like, horror movie.
Yeah.
Could be a horror movie.
Easily could be. You could switch that easily into being a horror. She actually gets catfished by a serial killer.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
Yeah, so, John, tell me about it. What the best parts about it? Just the craziness that ensues.
Yeah, it's just, I will say the acting in it is actually fairly good. I don't think it's really bad acting like the Vanessa Hudgens films and like
the there's other a new ones. One of that, by the way.
I know. I will probably watch it.
We will talk about that on another one.
I don't know if I've seen the first one, but I definitely watched one with Kim. I think it was the second one, but whatever. But like the actors are actually, you know, they're going for it, but they're also like this, like, I feel like most of these films now, they know what they're doing. Like, they know the cheesiness and the ridiculousness that they're going in. I think the thing you see is, like, Netflix, again, heard this on another podcast. It's Bill Simmons, but it is kind of true when you think about it. Basically, Netflix just, like, has the algorithm of what people want. So you're, like, watching this movie, and they have, like, they hit every beat that you would want out of a cheesy love rom-com film, where it's like, oh, the brother of the main Josh whatever is a mega douche and you just want to hate the guy. Like,
yeah,
like mega douche. Or, you know, like, oh, it's this hardworking woman and she has to, you know, her life changes and she
pulling her up by the bootstraps.
Yeah, pulling her up by the bootstraps, like, and she finds love by figuring out who she really is as a person. Like that type of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's good. The acting, yeah, I would say the acting is fairly decent in it. I think the craziest thing, the one thing, like I said this, and the people I watch with, Kim and Alan, previous aforementioned Panther fan, I don't think they care as much, but the way it's shot, you're going to have to tell me the camera angles they use in some of this. It's just different than any other film. Like, it definitely feels a little more low production, but not bad. But it's just, like, the visual choices they use, like, the way the camera is facing the person is just, like, different than I feel like in other films. Like, it just felt, like, that's the one thing. It just felt shot differently than what I've seen out of other films. Like, the way standard, like, scenes are set up, I guess.
Okay. I'm trying to look to see if it's, like, a different director or something like that. Yeah, I don't know who this director is.
So. Yeah, it's a Costa Rican director. I don't know. That's what, to me, was unique to me, was just the fact that it was, like, the way it was shot. Okay. He looks like he's only mainly done a lot of, like, Spanish films or whatever. So maybe that's, he has a influence from that. But yeah, I don't know. It's like, they have the characters, like, staring down the pipe of the camera at some point.
Really?
Which is usually not what you see most times in films. And so that was different. It was good. I mean, I like it because it's a different artistic choice, but it's different. I don't know. But, yeah, I don't know. It's fun, all the characters. I had to look up. I didn't really know anyone who was in this film, like, watching it, which is good. Usually they always have, like, one person that's, like, relatively famous or, like, a B-list actor now.
So I'll say, looking at this cast, Sean, the main actress is, like, that to a T. It just,
like,
wasn't
a B-list actor? Yeah.
So it's Nina Dobrev from Vampire Diaries is who it is. Like,
was she the main star in that?
Yeah.
Oh.
So, like, she's your Vanessa Hudgens on this movie, for sure.
Okay. Well, she does a good, much better job than I would expect out of Vanessa Hudgens.
I hope so, because I've seen some of those Vampire Diaries episodes, and
oh, no.
They weren't the best. Then also, I think, is it Josh? Is that the main?
Yeah.
So he's like from, like, Silicon Valley and shows like that.
That's
so,
what I, yeah, I saw that he was in that. The dad, Josh's dad, apparently played Shredder in the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles film.
Bob? Is that his name?
Yes.
Yes, he does. yeah, there's a few of these. Like, I'm guessing the douche guy, like the douche brother is, I think he's a Riverdale
Was he
actor.
In Riverdale? He was in Glee, actually, is what he was first known for.
Okay, I might be looking at this. One of these guys is definitely a Riverdale guy.
Also, which made me laugh when I was looking through this, was the two of the people in the Asian family were also in the movie Crazy Rich Asians. Yeah. Which is kind of sad because it's like, we don't have more actors than that.
Yeah, I'm guessing they're pulling from the same pool quite often. Hey, hopefully it's expanding out there, but...
I know, hopefully. Hopefully this allows for it.
But, yeah, I bet that happens. So, man, I really want to ask you, like, some more in-depth questions on it, but I know you're trying not to spoil it for me because I told you I'm going to watch it with my wife.
Let's just say, also, her... The love interest tag. Very attractive standard Christmas movie. Like, one of the better looking... When he has a hat on. I will say when his hat's off, he doesn't look as good. But
so
when
you're saying bad hair.
Bad hair, yeah. I'm not a big fan of the hair. But when he has his... He's pretty attractive. Which, you know, sometimes in these Christmas movies, they try to make the guy look really attractive. This guy looks like a dweeb.
Yeah.
Like, so, like this one, he's meant... The main guy's meant to be nerdy. Whatever. But the, like... Usually, they're like... You know, the Christmas prince or whatever it fucking is. They're not that attractive, I feel like. But this guy, he's pretty attractive.
Yeah, fair enough. Because I agree with you. If I go into this movie and I'm supposed to be thinking this guy's a heartthrob, and I'm like, this guy's kind of not very good looking, it throws the whole movie off for me.
Okay, here, this won't spoil anything. But so she meets this guy on the dating app and where she gets catfished. Doesn't ask for a photo or anything. Doesn't call FaceTime him. At all before going to New York to surprise him.
So that's what I'm saying. This is definitely a horror movie start. Like, this lady's definitely getting abducted and, like, is now in a fucking haunted house. If this movie had come out a month earlier, it's a haunted house movie.
But, like, that's the thing. That's the part where you're like, this makes zero sense because I haven't dated really in that world, but I assume you always try to get in, like, FaceTime someone. And if you can't, that's a red flag. But she doesn't even get to that point where she's like, oh, this is a red flag. No, I'm just going out there and going to go see this guy.
It's one thing to go on a date without seeing. It's another, I'm going out to New York to surprise him.
For Christmas.
Yeah, for Christmas. Yeah, so that's another, like, definite, like, of these Christmas rom-coms.
Yeah.
There's got to be that one moment where, like, normal people are like, nope, not a thing. Not a thing.
But, yeah. So, I don't know. That part. But, yeah, it takes place on a dating app. So, there's a little fun with the dating. I forget what they call the dating app in the movie, but...
It's not like Swinder or something like that?
Close. It's kind of like a play on that, but I don't remember what it's called. But, okay. I don't know. It's a fun film. There's definitely some actual, like, legit kind of funny parts in it. And it has all your... If you like those type of films, it's worth watching.
Okay. Well, I'm definitely going to watch it.
It's much better than A Very Nutty Christmas that I watched last year with The Nutcracker.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Where somehow the lady doesn't realize she's dating a fucking nutcracker.
Dating a nutcracker. Man.
There's no weird, like, magic in this one.
Which also is probably why this thing's coming out a month in November, not in December. Because those movies definitely, it's like... The magic of Christmas.
And yeah, like, it just gets a little more ridiculous.
Don't those fucking, like, Princess Switch or whatever movies with the Vanessa Hutchins, isn't there, like, some, like, fairy godmother type, like, lady in those two?
I don't know, man. I don't remember it
I'm
that
pretty
well.
Sure. I'm pretty sure there's, like, some, like, fairy godmother-ish person.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, dude, Netflix has now cornered the market. They're, like, coming up on Hallmark territory of, like, we own the Christmas movies.
Yeah.
But man, it's going to be a fun year watching these. It's going to be fun. I'm excited.
I agree.
Sean, anything else on Love Hard?
It just hits all the standard beats and plays into the standard beats of these cheesy Christmas movies. So.
Awesome. Awesome. Sounds like a perfect movie for a nice
It's a good watch. And it went by fairly quickly, you know. It didn't seem long, which is always...
So we're not talking like Avengers style long.
No. It's right now it says the runtime is 105 minutes, so... It's actually, I feel long for one of these.
Oh yeah,
films.
I was gonna say that's 105. That's right in the ballpark though. Good on you guys for making that. All right, Sean. The last thing I wanted to talk to you about is a pretty monumental thing happened in our life.
Yeah.
You finally got to the part in Red Dead Redemption 2.
It's not a spoiler alert because it's been 3 years since.
Where is it? John Marston? Is that the main character?
No, Arthur Morgan.
Arthur Morgan dies.
Mm-hmm.
Sean, take the floor.
Well, basically, this is what's happened with Red Dead. I, for a while, you know, was trying to kill that fucking Robin. Couldn't kill it. I'll get to it in a second. Remind me about this stupid Robin. So, I finally, and I knew I was, like, pretty much at the end. Like, I had done a few missions. I was like, I'm pretty sure this next mission is the one he dies.
Yep.
And so I tried. I forget what time of day, but basically Kim was still like working on stuff. So I was like, I'm going to go in and fucking play this mission. And I play it, and it goddamn takes like a fucking hour, hour and a half to get through. Kim was annoyed with me because it went way too long. And I was like, I'm just trying to get through this.
Just got
to
get this mission.
Yeah, I just want to get through this. But yeah, great mission. Besides the fact that Arthur Morgan dies, but basically, yeah, you basically, like, everyone just goes off the deep end. Arthur Morgan, there's a couple that John, he saves John, you know, like, lets John Marsden go, like, do his life, you know, which leads into, you know, Red Dead Redemption, the original. But basically, yeah, it's just kind of the Arthur Morgan finds peace with himself and trying to help the good people of the gang out. And then, like, the bad people like Dutch and Micah and whatever, you know, they go against, they basically start a standoff. They're all pointing guns at each other.
Ooh, Mexican standoff.
Yes. And then the military shows up and then they're like, oh fuck, we all got to get out of here. So basically you run off as Arthur and you're trying to fight the military. You basically just climb a mountain, which seems like an incredibly stupid idea to do, but whatever.
Yeah, it seems like you're probably going to get trapped up there, Arthur.
So he gets up there, John Marsden gets away, and then he's just by himself trying to fight the army left. And then Micah, who you learn has been working as a mole, like, not originally, not when the game started, but when you come back from Gorma, he gets picked up by the army or military, FBI, whatever, the Pinkertons, I think they call
them. Ooh, the Pinkertons.
Yeah.
Ooh, I knew. They're big in the Old West.
Yeah. Yeah, and so he's betraying them, and Dutch doesn't believe him. So Micah and him, just Micah shows up, and then you fight Micah as Arthur Morgan. And Arthur's, like, dying of tuberculosis at the same time.
Oh, he's got TB? Oh, fuck.
Yeah, that's why he gets, like, early on in the game and why he's, like, slowly dying as you're playing.
Oh, I didn't know that. What the fuck?
Sorry, never said that. I was more concerned about my horses.
Yeah.
But basically, yeah, you, in the way, because I had read ahead enough or whatever that if you get your honor in a good spot, you die more honorably. You don't die by Micah just fucking backstab, like shooting you in the back or whatever it was. So I got it high enough, and I was glad because I didn't die that way. But my horse dies. Hank dies. Just naturally, the game kills him, basically.
Oh, fucking Hank.
And you take out Micah. He gets away or something. I don't remember. But basically, yeah, Arthur just dies on a mountain looking out over like the sunrise, essentially.
Fuck, man, that's beautiful.
It is a beautiful, poetic way for Arthur to die.
It is. Dang. That's, getting choked up just thinking about
it. I know.
Guys, TB-ridden, just fighting yeah. These traitors.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, he found peace, at least, in the end. He's a good guy.
Dang, dang. So, you're John Marsden's now.
I'm now John Marsden, and you get, so what happens is how they, like, allow you to keep all the guns and shit that, like, in the quests that Arthur had done before Arthur dies, he gives John Marsden his satchel or whatever that has all the stuff. So then you don't have to completely start over, but the fucking Robin thing. So I'd already caught two of those creatures, which was a chipmunk and something else. They got wiped. So I have to go and re-hunt those whenever I get to it. But right now with John, I'm doing enough other random stuff and you get the access to the part of the map you like don't at all, like where Blackwater, where the original Red Dead takes place.
Yep.
So I've literally just been, like, exploring that place, kind of opening it up to see where everything is. Man,
the Robins are going to be popping up like none other up there now.
Man, I hope so. But, yeah, the map's so fucking huge now, too. And it's just like...
Of course.
But, yes, I am John Marsden now. I'm at 91%, I think, complete. So
damn, we're getting there, man.
Getting there. Probably take a little bit, though, still.
Because you got to kill them damn Robins.
Yeah. But yeah, it was sad. I didn't shed a tear, but I felt, you know, I felt sad for Arthur to finally be dead.
Damn.
I saw the deer, which is a good thing, because apparently if you're a good guy, you see a deer. If you die, you see a wolf.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
So you're telling me if I'm dying and a deer walks across my path?
You've done good.
Okay. Well, I'll make sure to look out for that if I'm ever dying. All right, Sean, that's all I got for today. You got anything else?
When you're writing, I think it says Arthur Morgan, or maybe it's John Mar. At least partially with Arthur Morgan, like, quotes go through. Like, there's, like, a music that plays while you're, like, riding off to your final mission or whatever.
Yeah.
It's weird, because it's just, like, Actually, no, I think that also happens with John Marsden. The quotes definitely happen with Arthur Morgan, but then John Marsden, you like, whatever, you like, you start off and you have to like relearn things. I don't know why, but basically you're stuck at a farm. You get done with that, and then when you go like re-enter the game in a sense, like this like song starts playing when you're riding off to go do something.
Huh.
With actual words, which doesn't, you know, happen in that game.
Dang, that's pretty cool.
That's it. Sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. Sean, I think we're probably planning on doing another mailbag or like people send us in questions here.
Yes, please.
At some point. So if you're listening to this and you haven't sent us in any questions and you're like, man, I really want to know blank about this from Sean and Jordan, send it in to us.
Send us in.
We will answer your question on air.
On air. On recorded.
On recorded air forever.
Yes.
Until the internet goes down.
Exactly.
So, Sean, any last words?
That's it.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Pandering Talk. If you got any questions, concerns, or comments, just hit us up on our Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, all under The Pandering Talk. Thank you, and have a wonderful day.